Welcome back, everyone, to the podcast for day 10. You're almost there, just 2 days. As you know, we, for these 12 days of prayer and fasting, are pressing into experiencing more of the presence of God in our everyday lives as a whole church community, whether in Perth, Australia, Bangkok, Thailand, or San Francisco, or even here in Melbourne, whether you're a student at university, a parent homeschooling your children, or a project team leader in the banking sector, we are all looking at answering the question, how am I growing in an awareness of His presence? And on this podcast, each day, we are chatting with different people in our church community to hear the testimony of their lives as to how they have grown in an awareness of the presence of God in their life. And today we have someone joining us who I know it's going to be a fun chat. It's definitely going to be a fun chat today. We have Pastor Steve Cawthorn. Welcome.
Hey. Hey, it's really good to be here.
So yeah. Good to have you. Pastor Steve, you oversee all of our location pastors. You are a pastor of pastors, as it is said, and it's very true. It doesn't take long to be in a conversation with you before you say, how are you doing? And You just really feel the love of the Father. So I'm looking forward to opening up this topic with you today.
Awesome. Yeah, looking forward.
So we're going to kick off. We're going to jump right in. And we're going to ask a question that we've been asking a lot of our guests, but it's just been beautiful to see how the Lord moves differently in everyone's life. So we want to know a little bit about the first time that you experienced the manifest presence of God. So we know there's the omnipresence of God. We know that God is always with us. He's omnipresent. He's Emmanuel. But we're talking here about, I guess, a recognition of the manifest presence of God.
Great. Well, yeah, great question. I'm just thinking back on my life and thinking when I first experienced the manifest presence of God. I mean, when I first got saved at 19 years old, one day I'll be able to tell my testimony. It's pretty crazy.
Pastor Steve, if you bump into Pastor Steve at any location, ask him his testimony. It's a blessing.
But getting filled with the Holy Spirit and just having like an amazing encounter with the presence of God when I was first filled with the Holy Spirit. That was incredible. But I guess it was a few years later, and I remember going to a vineyard conference, and it was a Winds of Worship. It was like a worship conference, and there was all these amazing worship leaders there. And I remember going to that conference, and they were singing really simple songs. The music was really simple, but there was just something about the atmosphere in the room. And I'd never experienced anything like that before. Wow. I mean, I've been to conferences and sung amazing songs and, you know, been in church for a few years at that stage. But coming to this conference, there was something different about it. And I guess it was at that moment I realized, hey, this is the tangible presence of God. And I remember my pastor at that time talking to us about the manifest presence of God and how there was this holy awe and reverence during worship. And the speaker got up and he started speaking about the presence of God. And I've never heard anything like that. I've never experienced anything like that. And I remember at that moment thinking, I want to give my life to this. I want to know this presence of God. I mean, you know, I'd believed the right things and done the right things and followed the right things. And, you know, that's all important. But there was something about this atmosphere and this reverence and this holiness that really impacted me, and it happened in worship.
Beautiful.
Like during worship. It wasn't because of the preaching.
Yeah.
It was just simple songs, simple music, but yet the whole air was charged with something otherworldly. And I remember that experience, and I thought, I need to find out more about this. I want to encounter more of this. So that started me on a bit of a trajectory of just finding out about the presence of God and this tangible presence of God.
I love so many things that you said about that. I love that your experience of the presence of God, because the presence of God, I guess, when the presence of God comes, it can come in many ways. We can experience it in many ways. So sometimes presence of God comes, we experience healing. Sometimes we experience, other people have talked about like feeling like home. Other people have talked about feeling peace. And I love that you talk about like a holiness and a reverence for God, that when you felt and experienced His presence, that was what you experienced. Because I think it can contain and be all the things and many things. And I love that for you, it was like this holy, awe and reverence. And I guess like I'll want to draw nearer, like I want to be nearer to
totally,
God.
Totally, totally. So for me, it's become like that in worship. Like every time I come into worship, either on my own or in a service or in the, you know, coming to a meeting, I just want to encounter God in that way. So I'm always sort of shifting my awareness to, okay, God, where are you? I want to experience your presence, you know, again. It just reminds me of that scripture. I think it's in Psalm 73. It's a psalm that Asaph wrote, and he was in this bit of a dark space and wondering why and asking questions and a little bit disillusioned about life. But then this is this amazing verse. I think it's verse 15 where he says, "And then I came into the sanctuary, and you know, experienced the glory of God, and everything changed. Absolutely, everything changed." Yes. And for me, like whenever I get into the presence of God, everything starts to make sense again. You know, clarity comes again. It's like my perspective changes. You know, and so for me, it's, you know, it's really creating that awareness of the presence of God and creating those moments in the presence of God.
So good.
So important.
Yeah. It is. So, okay, that's kind of like some, I guess, moments of awareness of him in your life, but we don't want to live from mountaintop to mountaintop, right? Like we don't want to be chasing worship in a service, like on a Sunday, waiting for worship teams on a Sunday to help us usher us into the presence of God. We really want to be cultivating a life where no matter what we're doing, where we are, we're aware of his presence that is always with us. So what does it look like for you? You are a worshiper, as you can hear in your story. You are a pastor. You are on team here doing ministry. You have three beautiful kids. You have a whole life and a full life. So what are maybe some things that you do, Steve, in your life that help cultivate that, that help cultivate an awareness of the presence of God?
Yeah, great question. I think, you know, you can't go past your devotions and your times with the Lord and setting a time intentional.
Yeah, intentional time. We've heard that a lot.
Time and space. That's that's really important. But I love what Dallas Willard says. He says that a life of devotion, that a lot of people want a devotional life but don't live a devotional life. So in other words, they look for a devotional times instead of living a devotional life. And, you know, I just think of that in my own life. I don't want to have a devotional time.
Yes.
I want to live a whole devotional life.
Yes.
So in other words,
so good.
You know, creating an awareness or living with an awareness of the presence of God every single day is looking for those moments and those pauses and those just living with that sense of awareness of what is going on inside of me as well.
Yeah, that's good.
What are the movements of my heart?
Yes.
You know, during the day, you know, do I feel close to God or do I feel a bit further away from God, or just noticing my emotions, noticing what God is doing in me? And I think it's important, you know, any sort of spiritual growth, there has to be reflection. You know, there has to be a sense of reflection.
That's really key.
With spiritual growth. So I think, you know, living life with a sense of reflection, even day to day.
Yes.
Like, okay, how did that meeting go? What was that conversation like?
I love
what
it.
Was God doing in me then? Did I feel close to God then? Did I feel far from God? Did I feel, you know, in my true self or whatever? So I think so that's good. Living with that sense of devotion and awareness with God in every
day. I love that. And we actually have a tool, a prayer and fasting toolkit that is available for everyone during this season. And some of the prayer practices that are in that are things like the examine prayer, which is exactly to help foster this. So if you've never lived a reflective life or are just like curious about knowing more, the examine prayer is a prayer practice that you'll find in the toolkit that actually helps you, whether it's the end of the day, end of the week. Don't wait till the end of the year. We all do reflection at the end of the year, right? But actually helps you look back on your day or your week, and together with the leading of the Holy Spirit, actually define where God was. Like sometimes we rush through our days, right? Like it's true. We rush through our days. We hurry from one thing to the next, and we don't always have time in the day to stop and reflect. But at least at the end of the day, even if it's just as you're like driving home in the car or like turn off the radio, just spend some time reflecting with the Lord. And the examine prayer, if you've never done anything like that, is a great like step-by-step guide to actually, how to do that.
It's really good. I love the Examine.
I know. I'm such a fan.
I'm such a fan as well. But, you know, it doesn't have to be a long process.
No, not at all.
You can do it in as little as 5 minutes.
Yes, come on.
And so, you know, even between meetings, mm-hmm. you know, after that meeting, mm-hmm. I'll have a little bit of a moment and, okay, how did I go in that meeting? Where did I feel God?
So good,
Where
Steve.
Did I feel yes. not like myself? You know, I think that's living that reflective life, which yep. is important. That and being aware of Holy Spirit, what are you putting your finger on? What are you yep. teaching me now? Yep. You know, and you can do that. I think it was Ignatius who said, who taught his disciples to do it 3 times a day.
Yeah.
Do the examine 3 times a day.
Wow.
I think that's great.
Yeah. I love the daily office, yep. which is like morning, midday, or somewhere around like lunchtime, and then yep. evening before you go to bed, because I think yep. it does, like sometimes we can do something in the morning. I know by the time I probably get to 3:30, apart from needing a coffee, it's like so much, like if I don't reorientate myself on the Lord somewhere throughout that day, I get to 6 and I'm like, oh gosh, where did I lose him? Like, where yep. did I lose an awareness of the Lord during the day?
Yeah.
So I like that idea of like, yeah, multiple times throughout the day. Even I've done in some seasons put like a vibrating alarm on my phone. So like not a loud one that'll disturb everyone in the office, but just something that vibrates that I just take like literally, I think it would be probably 15 seconds, not more. I just take a deep breath in, re-regulate my breathing, and then just turn my conscious awareness to the Lord. And that may be all it is. Like yeah. sometimes he has something that he wants to tell me or something he wants to give me, but it's just like this moment of gratitude of like, God, I just acknowledge that you are here and your presence is here. Because I think, yeah, otherwise sometimes we get lost throughout the day.
Yeah, we do. But, you know, God is so good. He's so kind
yes.
and he's always there. I've noticed that even when I shift my awareness and mm-hmm. I take the time to do a bit of reflection.
Yeah.
Holy Spirit, what are you saying? He's always there and I can yeah. always sense his presence, his gentle voice,
yeah.
his encouragement, you know, mm-hmm. his direction. He's always there if you're open to it.
Yeah.
You know, you have to create those moments,
yep.
you know, daily
yes.
moments, you know,
yes.
during the day where you're open to it.
Yes.
And it takes intentionality, you know,
yep.
and it's a whole lifestyle of developing that. It's a learning.
Yeah.
How to do that.
It is a cultivation
yeah.
for sure.
Yeah.
And if maybe for people like who have feel like, oh, sometimes I stop and I don't feel Lord or anything, you know, I feel like I don't hear anything or I don't feel anything. I just want to encourage you to like invite the Holy Spirit, like ask the help of the Holy Spirit. His name is Helper. It's his whole job in some ways to help us draw near to God. Like, so I think even if you're like, oh, that's, you know, that sounds super spiritual or whatever, I would just encourage you, like, give it a go. And as Pastor Steve was saying, it's over time. It does get cultivated. Keep going. Ask the Holy Spirit to help you. Ask him to be the one that reveals. I think sometimes we try and do it. Like, we try and, like, oh, we're going to, like, okay, I've really got to, like, find God. It's like the Holy Spirit's role is to actually reveal, like, Jesus, reveal the Father, draw us nearer to God. So you have a helper. His
yes.
name is Holy Spirit. Ask him for help.
Totally.
So you've talked a little bit, we just touched briefly on transformation, on a life of transformation. And I love this topic. I love this topic so much. Like allowing ourselves to be transformed into Christ-likeness, which is the life of a follower of Jesus. Not about doing church and coming to services and doing religious activity, but it's about being with him and becoming more like him and impacting the world as a result of that. So we're going to get to that component of transformation, but a fun fact that maybe not many people know on this podcast is that apart from the many things that I've already named that you're also a spiritual director, which I found out just recently.
Yeah.
So can you unpack firstly with us, because this is a topic I'm passionate about. It's been a gift to me, but some people may never have heard of a spiritual director or have heard of it and don't really know what is a spiritual director. So could you... Do they direct the spirits? What do they do? Could
yeah,
you explain
great.
To us what is yeah. a spiritual director?
Well, yeah, I guess sometimes explaining what it is it's also important to explain what it isn't.
Great.
I mean, you know, we have mentoring and mm-hmm. that's basically you're sharing what you've learnt to a person. You know,
mm-hmm.
there's discipling
mm-hmm.
where you're discipling people to Christ. There's counselling.
Yep.
You're caring for people and you're sort of giving them advice.
Yes.
There's pastoring. You're loving people and you know, caring for them. But then spiritual direction is like an ancient practice of sitting with a person and
yep.
listening to them, share their heart, share their story. and really asking questions to the directee, and helping them to discover, to discern where God is at work in them. So it's, and really the ultimate spiritual director is the Holy Spirit.
Yes, you know, he is.
You know, I'm not a spiritual director. I'm just helping someone to discover where the Holy Spirit is directing them.
Awesome.
So it's a holy sort of ancient practice that you sit with a person, you know, you become very aware of the Holy Spirit, ask questions, and sort of find out where the invitations are, where God is at work in them, and help them to discover just through questions and through invitations, maybe sitting silently and asking, what's the Holy Spirit saying right now, you know, to them. So it's, I found it to be really life-giving and really life-transforming for me personally. I've had a spiritual director for quite a few years now, and nearly every month I'll meet up with them, and I've found it to be really, really helpful.
Absolutely.
My spiritual walk. And so, yeah, both Ali and I, we did a course a number of years ago. It was about a two-year course on studying this and being able to provide that as like an aspect of, you know, our care and counseling direction. And care and stuff. So,
I've had a spiritual director for probably over just 3 years and can say the same, like being such a gift in my life. A lot of, they talk about a lot of like holding space and that's a real gift in this time, like in the world we live in, just to hold space for another person. Yeah. And have someone not tell you what God is saying or tell you what God is doing. Oh, God's doing this in your life, or God's saying this to you, but actually ask questions that provoke, I guess, you to ask wider questions to the Lord about, oh, wow, okay, well, what if we think, okay, oh, yeah, okay, that's a great question. I've never thought about that. I feel like for me it's, opened up a whole area of exploration, like different paths of exploration.
Yeah.
In what God might be doing that otherwise I would have never seen him in.
Totally. I mean, Jesus was a master of doing this, of asking questions, not because he didn't know the answer, but really he was helping his disciples to discover what was happening inside of them and what, how he was forming them and stuff. And so, you know, the power of a really good question can sometimes unlock something, you know, in you and sort of help you to discover what's going on inside, you know, with your feelings and emotions and just the stuff that's happening inside. And that's, I think that's really powerful.
Yeah.
You know, to be able to ask that good question.
Yeah. It helps you almost become aware, I guess, of the work of God, like the presence of God at work in your life in ways that, otherwise we wouldn't have seen. A little bit like an examine prayer, you can do that with the Holy Spirit, but I guess this is someone else who often has maybe been a little bit ahead of you in life, or, you know, has also wisdom and this kind of stuff to do the same kind of thing. I always leave thinking, oh, wow, God is way more at work than I realized. And so comforting, and like his presence is working in a way that I didn't necessarily realize. And also, as you were talking about, I think the idea of like an awareness of the presence of God, the ushering in of that, or the recognition, I guess, of that in our lives and leading to transformation, leading to spiritual transformation. So maybe you could talk a little bit, Steve, about those, that interconnectivity, because I guess where we, I mean, the some of the, when we're in the presence of God, we are in communion and in union with him. And there often is a transformation process that happens, a transformation into Christ-likeness, whatever that looks like, but that's freedom, or that's something, you know, being added, or whatever the case may be. Maybe you can share a little bit about that.
Yeah, well, I guess part of it is, I feel, is knowing how God has created you, you know, and how you've been wired. And, you know, as you become more aware of his presence in your life, you become more aware of the areas in your own heart that need his presence, or need, you know, healing, or need transformation in you, you know, those areas of resistance, or you know, unhealthy emotions or reactions to things, you know. And so, as you know, as you become more aware of his presence and you allow his presence just to, you know, come all over you and just, you know, all over your heart and your life, and just you become more aware of how God's wired you, and you become more aware of, okay, there are areas in my life that I need to let go of. I need to surrender. Yes. I need to discover, okay, what's causing that to happen? Uh-huh. And when you do it, it's not self-reflection.
Oh, that's good.
It's Holy Spirit reflection. So,
explain the difference between that. Well, that's a really important difference.
Yeah, self-reflection is very man-made, and it's all about me, myself, and I. Mm-hmm.
Self-help.
It's
we don't want Christianity self-help.
Yeah, absolutely. But when you do it with the Holy Spirit, it brings you into freedom, and it brings you into wholeness, and it actually makes you become more like Christ.
And often how I see it when I'm in those moments with the Lord is like, I am looking at Jesus. I'm not looking at myself. I'm looking at him. And as I look at him, the visual that I often have is a mirror. And then it shines back on me. So I see myself through his eyes, not see myself looking inward.
Yes.
And so then as I like kind of look up to him and see the mirror that he's holding up, I get to see it's not like it doesn't spiral into big negative things. It's like, oh, he loves me. Oh, he's so proud of me. Like he loves me more than I again realized. And like, oh, he's so proud of me and just his affirmation. Then it's like, oh, wow, this one thing here, that doesn't look like Jesus. Like,
totally,
oh, interesting. And then, okay, I can deal with the one thing, not all the things, you know?
Absolutely. And when Jesus puts his finger on something and the Holy Spirit puts his finger on something, you know it's him because it's never condemning.
No.
It doesn't come across condemning. It comes across, wow, this is an opportunity for growth. This is actually an opportunity for me to be healed and to become whole and me to let go of something.
Yep.
So it's always transformative. It's always restorative. It's always moves you toward him, not away from him.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you're feeling condemned or you feel that, you know, you're looking at yourself and you're doing some evaluation or whatever.
It's too much work to be done.
It's too much work and you feel condemned and you feel further away from God. Yeah. Well, that's not God.
No.
You know, but if it's bringing you closer to the Lord, it's like, hey, that's the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
He always wants to bring us closer to Jesus.
Yes.
And so that's part of that journey. And sometimes it is difficult, but that's part of the journey of self-reflection with the Holy Spirit. But with the presence of God, when you do it with the presence of God, it just is so transformative. It's so beautiful.
Yeah.
And, you know, even doing it with a spiritual director, you know, it is really helpful as well. Because when you do it with a pastor or a spiritual director or you do it with someone that, you know, that formation journey, it becomes so beautiful.
Yeah,
you
know? It is. A spiritual director, I think, often helps in those situations of keeping me focused on Jesus, not focused on myself.
Yes.
Like it's that constant redirection to like, but what about him? But what about like they keep pointing you back to him?
Yeah.
Because I think we live in such a self-help world, like such a self, I was saying before in another episode that like we worship at the idol of self. Oh my God, in ways that we don't even realize a lot of the time. And we can take that into our Christian walk without even realizing it, like honestly. So I think when we're doing, especially if there's like deep transformation or there's been trauma or things like that that are quite heavy, doing something like that with a spiritual director or with, you know, someone, like you were saying, can actually help us. I find sometimes I find myself drifting back into the world of like, I need to fix myself. No. Hang on a second.
Yeah.
So they just help you like keep focusing back on Jesus, remembering that we have the Holy Spirit who is the helper and leaning on them and surrendering to them rather than like falling into, I guess, a world of self-help.
Totally. And I think that's what this season of consecration is about, especially with prayer and fasting.
Yes.
Because it's such a beautiful tool for realignment and to sort of discern that false self in us, you know, that the old self in us that needs to die, needs to, you know, be denied. Mm-hmm. And that's why we fast. Mm-hmm. We've got to deny those things.
Yeah.
But then also recognizing our true self created in Christ.
Yeah.
You know, and that realignment, that's what prayer and fasting does. It realigns us back into our true identity as sons and daughters of God.
Yeah.
You know, it's incredible. So that's what I love about this season of consecration and just this opportunity that we get to, you know, position ourselves in that position of prayer and fasting. You know, I mean, prayer and fasting, it's interesting. It's not about twisting God's arm to overcome his reluctance.
Say it again, Steve.
it's not about twisting God's arm to overcome his reluctance.
Uh-huh.
He's a good father.
Yep.
He actually wants to bless you more than you even ever realize.
Yes.
So prayer and fasting is actually not about works or striving or trying really hard. That's what I thought it used to be.
Yeah.
I thought, okay, I've got to do prayer and fasting. Yeah. I've got to do all of this stuff and I've got to pray louder and pray harder and speak in tongues for longer. I mean, that's all good and important, but the heart behind it really is positioning ourselves to understand the goodness of our God. He's good already.
Yes.
You know, he's not reluctant at all. He wants to pour it out. He wants to bring breakthrough and supernatural, you know, provision and stuff. And so all this does is position our hearts, you know, prayer and fasting, it positions our hearts to be more aware of his presence that's already there and his love and his goodness and his generosity that's already available for us.
So good.
So, yeah.
Amen to all of that. It can be really easy to fall into, you know, works and striving and all those things. But even Dr. Ali was just saying the other day when we were talking about that, like, as many times as we become distracted in, like, we're talking about it in the context of contemplative prayer, but it's the same in terms of, like, prayer and fasting. So anytime that we become, like, we kind of feel like, oh, we've, like, fallen off the wagon or, like, I don't know, maybe you got really hungry and you were like, I really just, I'm going to eat that Kit Kat, whatever it may be. I'm really going to eat that mango sticky rice if I'm in Thailand. We have this opportunity to turn back to God. So it's in the turning back that is actually, it delights him. Like we sometimes think we have this Christian life of like, oh, great, I did a 21-day fast, tick, 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 and, you know, tick all the boxes in a very rules-oriented kind of even way of thinking of this. But it is, it's a love offering to God. It's ourselves saying, my body and my soul and my spirit are coming into one to hunger for, to show God and to hunger for him, to show, hey, like, I am hungry for you more than I'm hungry to satisfy my flesh.
Yeah, totally.
And in that position of like, okay, so I ate my mango sticky rice or whatever it is, like the turning back to him delights him. Yeah. Like it delights his heart. It's in the exercise of the giving of ourselves in this way, not in the perfection of the fasting or the perfection of the prayer.
Yeah.
So good. Oh, totally. Steve, I want to talk to you all day about these things. But I will get you to pray for anyone. Is there anything else that you want to, I guess, feel to share before you pray for us?
I just want to encourage everybody just to, you know, this whole season, again, is not about striving, but it's just about positioning our hearts.
Yep.
I believe our best days are ahead. I believe is really up to something.
Thank you, Lord.
This season is such a beautiful opportunity that we all get to reposition our hearts, to bring him our sacrifice of fasting and believe for the supernatural, believe for breakthrough, believe for, you know, what God has for us individually and as a church, you know, next. Yeah. And so it's just a great opportunity. So I just want to encourage everybody to keep going, you know, keep being faithful and watch what our amazing God can do.
Amen to that. Amen.
Yeah.
Would you pray for us?
Absolutely.
Thank you.
So, Father, we just thank you for this amazing opportunity we get, Lord, to position our hearts, Lord, and to receive all that you have. We thank you that you are a good Father, that you have good and generous gifts for each one of us, Lord, and you have got incredible things in store for us as a church, Lord. And so, Lord, in this season, we consecrate our lives to you. We consecrate every aspect of our hearts and our minds and our souls to you, Lord. We position ourselves, Lord, and we prepare ourselves, Lord, for all that you have in store. And so, Father, I pray for the joy of fasting,
Lord,
and the joy
God.
Of prayer to be our portion, Lord, for each and every person listening to this podcast right now. And I just pray blessing in Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. Amen. Thank you so much, Steve.
Hey.
It's been a joy.
Great to be
on.
And
thank you, everyone, for joining us today. If you want to hear more or understand a little bit more about spiritual direction, you can have a look or Google the Soul Shepherding Institute. We have used them before and found them super helpful, but you'll also be able to deep dive into a little bit more about what that looks like. Also, Prayer and Fasting Toolkit, as we've spoken about, you can grab that. If you haven't started yet, start today. We have all different prayer practices that can lead you and help you cultivate an awareness of his presence. That's a available in the show notes, in Instagram, in the Church Center app, on the website, in all the places. And also, we want to hear your testimony. We want to hear about what God is doing in your life, even the transformation that has happened in your life through prayer and fasting up to day 10. We want to hear. So DM us on Instagram or send us a message through the website. That is at pneuma.church/pray. All right, guys, I'm going to see you soon for day 11. Bye.